Over the last few months, we have been considering fact and fiction on forgiveness. And we have looked at forgiveness from several different angles. God's forgiveness of us. We considered the fiction that is sometimes talked about of us forgiving God. Very popular concept, but as we noted, is also very unbiblical. We looked at forgiving one another on an individual basis, but we also spent some time as to what forgiveness looks like within a church body. And then in our last message, we talked about the hardest person to forgive, that is ourselves, and the importance of doing that. And we explained that that is not in place of receiving the forgiveness through Christ. Once we have received God's forgiveness, then and only then can we let go of the shame, the regret, the guilt of our past. So to this morning, we conclude this series of messages in a message I'm calling Forgiveness and Health. And you may be surprised to realize how much forgiveness can impact our health on different levels. Health is on everyone's mind these days. Up until a few months ago, it was mostly about the rising costs of health care. And you see ideas out there for preventative measures that can be taken that can maybe forestall certain problems that might arise. In these last 6 months or so, we've become obsessed with health, with this whole COVID pandemic that has occurred, and health is on everybody's minds. Just turn on the television, and you'll see all kinds of commercials for various medications that you're to ask your doctor about and see if he'll prescribe you these various things. Now, these concerns aren't new. As long as there's been disease and death, folks have focused a lot of attention on health. And there's always someone eager to cash in on that concern and sometimes trap people into offering quick and painless products. Often these so-called cures leave the patients just as unhealthy and a little or maybe a lot less wealthy. As we wrap up our thoughts on fact and fiction on forgiveness, I want to consider some of the benefits to forgiveness. If you have your Bibles, turn to the letter of James toward the back of your New Testament, just after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 5. In the concluding verses of James' letter, we see something about forgiveness and how that can impact our health. James chapter 5, I'd like to begin in verse 13. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It's those concluding words in verse 16 that we'll want to focus on today. Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other. Why? That you may be healed. We've heard that old phrase, confession is good for the soul. And it seems to line up with what James writes here. It also agrees with an ancient Jewish rabbinic teaching. Great is the power of repentance. It brings healing. But sadly, this does not often take place, particularly within the body of Christ, the local fellowship of believers. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes in his book, Life Together, man is destroyed only by his sin and healed only by forgiveness. He goes on to explain how this can affect the Christians in the local church. He writes, he who is alone with his sin is utterly alone. It may be that Christians, notwithstanding corporate worship, common prayer, and the fellowship of service, may still be left in their loneliness. The pious fellowship permits no one to be a sinner, so everyone must conceal sin from himself and from the fellowship. We dare not be sinners. Many Christians are unthinkably horrified when a real sinner is suddenly discovered among the righteous. So we remain alone in our sin, living in lies and hypocrisy. The fact is, we are sinners. But it is the grace of the gospel, which is so hard for the pious to understand, that it confronts us with the truth and says, you are a sinner, a great, desperate sinner. Now come, as the sinner that you are, to the God who loves you. God has come to you to save the sinner. Be glad. This message is liberation through truth. You can hide nothing from God. The mask you wear before men will do you no good before him. He wants to see you as you are. He wants to be gracious to you. You do not have to go on lying to yourself and your brothers as though you were without sin. You can dare to be a sinner. Thank God for that. He loves the sinner, but hates the sin. And isn't that true? Isn't it true that in most churches we walk around and try to impress people with how holy and righteous we are? We've got it all together. We don't have any problems. If we have prayer requests, it's always for somebody else because they need prayer. But we've got it all together. And by no means are we ever going to admit that we have sinned because we're in church. And church isn't for that kind of thing. If that's the case, then we need to shut the doors. Because the church is for sinners. Sinners saved by grace. But sinners nonetheless. And even sinners who are saved by grace still occasionally sin, don't we? Let's just admit it. Let's face up to that fact. And when we do sin, confess it. Own it. Find forgiveness with God. Find forgiveness within the fellowship. Find forgiveness within yourself. That is God's way. And by experiencing and extending forgiveness, we find health and healing. Now, as we're going to see this morning, this doesn't only apply to physical health and healing, although I do believe there's an application there. We will find health and healing at every level of our existence. Since a person's body, soul, and spirit interrelate, which is how I interpret Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God sanctify you wholly, body, soul, and spirit. These interrelate. So we see that physical imbalance, sickness, or injury, it can affect emotional and spiritual areas of our lives. And in praying for healing, praying for forgiveness, we should be aware of this interrelation and pray as God directs in any of these areas. So let's first look at the physical benefits of forgiveness. Now, in the context of our text in James, we read, is any of you sick? And I think it's very clear that he is speaking of physical health here. Now, I'll be the first to admit this passage in James is not always interpreted the same from church to church, from scholar to scholar, from preacher to preacher. Some believe this is speaking of physical healing. Others believe it's only spiritual healing. And it is true that the term used here for healed in the Greek translation of the Old Testament sometimes does refer to forgiveness of sin. However, in the New Testament, wherever this Greek word is found, unless it is quoting one of those Old Testament passages, it is always referring to physical healing. When it says that Jesus went around and healed the sick and cured their diseases, this is the word that's used. So I do believe James is speaking here of physical sickness. Now, let me be very clear. Not all physical sickness, not all injuries, not all physical impairments are a direct result of someone's sin. We looked at this earlier in our series. Yes, there are times when we reap the direct results of our own sin and we bring physical sickness or injury on ourselves. Sometimes we are the victim of someone else's sin. They make a choice, but it impacts us. And oftentimes, illness, injury, deformity, disease comes as a result of the original sin by Adam and Eve. We live in a cursed world. These things are going to happen. So I'm not at all suggesting that every time someone is sick, it's because they have sinned, and if they confess, their illness will go away. This is not a formula, but it is a principle by which we should follow. You see in the example of Job, you see the blind man in John 9. Here are instances where people experienced physical ailments that had nothing to do with their own sin. So let's not jump to that conclusion. Sometimes, though, there is a link between sin and sickness. The field of psychosomatic medicine recognizes this link. And sometimes you can go from a person's behavior to what's afflicting them physically. But modern medicine does not have a remedy for sin. Deliverance from guilt, defilement, power, and penalty of sin can only come on the basis of the blood of Christ, through confession to God and to one another. More often than we are willing to admit, illnesses are caused by sin. And those sins could be worry, anger, an unforgiving spirit, jealousy, selfishness, pride. It could even be we're not taking care of our own bodies. And then we come up weak or sick or injured. Sin in the life sometimes brings sickness and death. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 11, where the Corinthians were abusing the Lord's Supper. And Paul says there, for this reason, some of you are sick and some of you have died. There is a direct link between sin and sickness. It can happen. Now, all sins should be confessed to God. And all sins that are confessed will be forgiven. But sometimes you will find when a person repents of a sin in their life, they find healing in their bodies. Not always, but there is sometimes that link. So experiencing the forgiveness of God for our sin can bring physical healing and health. It's also true that extending forgiveness to others is good for your health. We've noted this previously, but there have been medical studies done of people who hold grudges, people who are angry with other people for things that have been done against them. And they are much more likely to have heart attacks, high blood pressure, higher cholesterol levels. It doesn't itself lead to cancer, but it can lead to the growth of cancer. All because of an unforgiving spirit. The bitterness, the anger, the resentment that we hold within us. But they also find that when people are able to let those go, when they're able to forgive others and move on with their lives, they're less likely to have heart attacks and strokes. They're less likely to succumb to some of these diseases. It is impossible to be bitter very long without it affecting our bodies. More and more medical professionals are beginning to see some kind of link between the way our bodies function and the way we think. Bitterness, anger, and other negative emotions have been associated with glandular problems, high blood pressure, cardiac disorders, ulcers, and a host of other physical ailments. Now, one of these medical professionals is a Christian physician, Dr. Archibald Hart. He's written an excellent book entitled Adrenaline and Stress, detailing the damaging impact of living a stress-filled life. And he has one entire chapter in his book called The Forgiveness Principle. And in it he writes, "The ability to forgive is therefore a very important stress reliever. Those who can't forgive and who harbor resentments are likely to be those who carry the greatest stress. When the mind perceives the need for revenge or defense, it keeps the alarm system at a high state of readiness. Adrenaline flows abundantly." And he details in his book the high cost of continued adrenaline running through your bodies. It really does take a toll. Forgiveness, on the other hand, can reverse this trend. He goes on to write, "I doubt if a deeply forgiving person ever suffers from severe stress disease. There is something about a forgiving spirit that restores the brain's tranquility and lowers that fight or flight response." Now, of course, anger isn't the only cause of stress damage, but it is certainly a significant one. So being able to forgive those who cause us hurt can keep us free from a lot of distress. So confessing our sins to God and to those we have wronged can improve our physical health. Extending forgiveness to those who have wronged us can improve the way we feel. Dr. Hart concludes, "Forgiveness is a more powerful stress reliever than any tranquilizer or blood pressure medicine I know of. I've tasted it myself." Now, to be sure, physical health is not the motive for forgiveness. Jesus commands us to forgive, and that's good enough. But I think it is helpful to see there are some health benefits to forgiveness. It can affect our physical health. Forgiveness also brings emotional benefits as well. As we just saw, anger and bitterness, resentment, and other negative emotions can affect us physically, but they also affect us psychologically. Bitterness often lies beneath our inability to forgive and even be forgiven. It denies our peace. It destroys our relationships. And over time, these effects become more and more severe. Long-standing grudges become extremely corrosive to our personalities. They damage our interpersonal relationships. Ultimately, the repression of anger will be accompanied by a mild to severe paranoia and destroy all the good that we've sought to do throughout our lives. The Bible recognizes this as well. If you're there in James, just go back one book to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. The author of Hebrews writes, "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Bitterness causes all kinds of trouble, more for the one who is bitter than the one to whom the bitterness is directed. Maybe you've heard that old saying, I don't get mad, I get even. Well, that kind of a lifestyle can really be damaging. For one thing, it's not always all that accurate. Person does get mad. That's what's usually fueling this desire for revenge. And really, they don't just want to get even. They want to get even and then go up one, right? It's not enough to just pay somebody back. You got to pay them back and then one. That's a very corrosive way of thinking for us, not only physically, but emotionally. Revenge never is satisfied unless it gives more than it receives. And oftentimes that can start a back and forth between people that never ends, it just escalates. How much better it is to make every effort to live in peace with all men. Now, we can only do so much. There are some people that don't want to live peaceably with us. And that's why Paul writes in Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We can only do what we can do. But again, by doing that, we are going to reap the benefits of it. Forgiving is the only true remedy if we want to enjoy proper mental health. So there are emotional benefits to forgiveness. And then finally, there are spiritual benefits to forgiveness. Warren Wiersbe writes, there is healing, physical and spiritual, when sin is dealt with. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. A literal translation of James' words is, make it a habit to confess your sins to each other. This isn't just a once-in-a-lifetime situation. This is something we should regularly practice. As we offend others, confess. Ask for their forgiveness. Experience that reconciliation. It is good for the soul and the spirit. When we have not experienced an extended forgiveness, we often find ourselves wrapped in a cloak of guilt. We know deep inside things aren't right between us and God. Things aren't right between us and a fellow believer. And that guilt will alienate us from God, and it'll isolate us from each other. Neither condition is good for our spiritual health. Furthermore, an unforgiving spirit can affect our ministry. Bitterness often hinders our influence for Christ. I mean, what kind of a testimony do we have if we're harboring bitterness against other people, especially within the church? That's not going to attract anybody to the Savior. Now, how can we convincingly talk to others about the forgiveness of God if we're not willing to extend it ourselves? This is not going to fly at all. When we allow bitterness to take over our lives, it will eventually spill out onto the lives around us, and it will kill our testimony for Christ. Fortunately, we don't have to remain in that state. By confessing our sins, seeking the forgiveness of God and those we have wronged, by forgiving those who wrong us, we can be healed. And while I believe that James wrote his words initially regarding physical healing, I believe we find health and healing in all areas of our lives. There is a special benefit for the person who will confess their sins and find forgiveness. even if physical healing is not God's will. There are times, and I have experienced this myself, where we have followed James chapter 5. We have anointed with oil and prayed over that person that they would be healed. And sometimes they're not. Not physically. Not the way we were hoping. And yet, that's no failure. Because if that person finds spiritual health and healing, if they find emotional health and healing, they are still benefiting, even if the physical healing they're seeking does not come about. So when we speak of the health benefits of forgiveness, while it is true that it can benefit us physically, that's not the only area. It can benefit us in every sphere. Like I said, this is not a formula. I am not one of those that say, if you have enough faith, you'll be healed. That puts all the emphasis on you. When I pray for someone for physical healing, I will always pray, Father, if it is your will. In accordance with your plan for their life, please bring healing and health. And if that's not your will, bring comfort and assurance. We can't demand anything of God. That's why they're called prayer requests, not prayer demands. But there is health and healing found in forgiveness. So confession of sin is healthy. We should employ it. When we find that we're wrong, we need to say it. When we've done something offensive to another person, admit it. Confess it to God, and then find that person you've hurt and confess it to them. Full confession can lead to full restoration. Now, it may not be the fountain of youth. It may not make you live long and prosper, but experiencing and extending forgiveness can bring health and healing to us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And just think, you don't have to worry if it's covered by your insurance. There's not a big long list of nasty side effects. You can improve your health God's way by experiencing forgiveness yourself, and then extending that forgiveness to others. Each week we close our worship services by praying together the Lord's Prayer. And what do we pray? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In that first line, we experience forgiveness. In that second line, we extend forgiveness. And I do believe it is a fact that when we experience and extend forgiveness, we will live healthier lives. It will improve everything about us. It may not affect the way others treat us. Remember, you're only in control of yourself. But it can make a world of difference in your life. So I would implore you today, if you have never experienced that forgiveness of God, come to Him today. Confess your sin to Him. Admit that you're a sinner. Ask that the Lord would take away your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you will be healed. Spiritually, you will be born again. You will be brought back to life. Emotionally, you will feel a sense of release. All of that guilt and that shame can be taken away. And you might even feel better physically, too. It is absolutely God's plan. And I would tell you, if you have not experienced it, please do so. Maybe you've already come to Christ. But maybe you're still experiencing some bitterness towards others. Maybe you're not able to forgive yourself. Take this time, as we're going to spend some time around the Lord's table, take this time. Receive God's grace and extend that grace to those who need it. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for forgiving us. We don't deserve it, but you treat us better than we deserve. I pray that everyone who hears these words will experience your forgiveness. And may we extend that forgiveness to others who have hurt us, and even to ourselves. May relationships be restored. May our own physical, emotional, and mental health be improved. May we find health and healing at all levels of our existence. Through your grace, through your mercy, through your love. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen.